This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
And today on Creature Feature, we're joined by Jordana White from Dunedin Wildlife Hospital, also by Leith Thompson. And, well, Jordana, I think we might get you to introduce Leith to us today.
Morena, thank you, Jeff. Yep, today we are featuring a different type of creature. It's not Leith, but I will introduce this as my mate, Leith Thompson. He is a conservation dog handler. So normally we would say that dogs and wildlife don't mix, which is generally true. And Jeff and I talk a lot about how to, you know, keep dogs on leads and in control to help keep wildlife safe. But in this case, dogs are actually helping keep wildlife safe. So Leith handles Sniper, who is a hoiho dog, so a yellow-eyed penguin dog, and she is mainly used to find penguin nests and find penguins. Is that right, Leith?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Sniper. So what type of dog is she?
She's a white-haired Whistler. She's 10 years old now, so in her prime, I'd say.
In her prime, yeah, that's nice. And what made you decide to go with a white-haired Whistler as a hoiho dog?
I had no idea, actually. When I started, I'd just started looking for a good family pet, and then I found the Whistlers, and then I'd looked into them, and I believed the white-haired might be a bit more suited for Dunedin temperatures. So that's why I ended up with a white-haired Whistler.
Yep, excellent. And so Leith was previously a ranger for the Yellow-Eyed Penguin Trust, so he was out in the field doing things like nest searching, and we're just coming up on the time of year when the field teams are out searching for yellow-eyed penguin nests. And let me just describe this work, because as a human, you're often army crawling through some pretty thick bush. There's pretty nasty plants out there that don't want you crawling through them. It can often be wet. It's muddy. There's sea lions hiding in the bush. You know, it's not the most glamorous or easiest work out there. And I think Leith had a bit of a brainwave around, well, actually, we could probably do a little bit better if we used dogs. So at the time, there weren't any hoiho dogs. Is that right? Sniper's the first one?
Yeah, that's correct. I was down in the southern Tarctics working down there and finding it very difficult to find the nest. We could see all the birds coming in and out of the water and leaving at night, but just finding the numbers of nests was very difficult. So I thought at the time, well, why not try a dog?
Yeah, and that's
went
right.
Went from there.
Leith, were you working on any previous examples or international examples of dogs working in this area?
Not really, but I remember at intermediate school doing a talk on kakapo and how endangered they were, and remember a dog from that time. And apart from that, didn't know much about dogs and conservation.
So where do you start?
Finding a dog.
Yeah.
So I wanted a dog that, if it failed in conservation, would still be a good family dog. Had a kid coming along, so didn't want it just a conservation dog, wanted a family dog. So got a dog, I did, but backwards, most people go to the program, talk to the program, they suggest dogs, and then you go from there. But I got a dog and then went from there and went to the program and said, can I get my dog in the program?
So their mobility is obviously, you know, a key aspect of the strength of the work that they do.
Yeah, the smell for me, so hoiho do stink, but it's locating that smell in the bush is the tricky one. So they nest on ground but individually, so they're not a group nesting bird like other penguins. So you might find one and then another one, another 200 metres away, but sometimes you find two within 5 metres. So they're very sporadic where they nest, and some can be 5 metres off the shore, others can be up to a K inland. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're often covering massive pieces of ground, and like I said, it's thick bush. It's very difficult. When I'm crawling through the bush looking for nests, I'm also using my nose oftentimes, because you can smell the nest before you can tell that you're near one because you can smell it. But where is it coming from? My nose is not honed well enough to do that. Whereas Sniper, obviously, she knows exactly where to go. There is, as Leith mentioned, a conservation dog program in New Zealand, and New Zealand really is a pioneer in using dogs for this purpose. So I think as far back as the 1890s, they were used, and I think Leith's example of the kakapo dog is probably one of those original examples. But the formal program's been running for about 40 years, even a little bit more than that. So there's a whole range of species dogs. So there's different types. So there's ones that like Sniper are actually out actively looking for a specific species, a native species, and that's usually done like she does to identify nests, or you know, do health checks on the population, see the numbers when there's been, for example, a 1080 drop or something in the area to try to ascertain if there's any change in the population. And then there are other dogs that are still considered conservation dogs, but they might be looking for pest species. So, for example, sniffing out stoats or possums. So there's a whole range. And it's quite a rigorous program. So there's not any dog can be a conservation dog. So there's tests that you have to go through. There's two stages of testing, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And the how many hours of training did you have to put in ahead of that first test?
Well, for me, because I was doing the yellow-eyed penguin at seasons, October, that's when they breed, and that's what I wanted to find. So it took me 2 years to be fully qualified. A lot of people do it in up to a year, depending on species, but because I was doing nest searching, it took 2 seasons to get fully qualified. So I started off just obedience training, just on my daily walks. And then you get certified with obedience. They come and check you, and you walk out and you do stop, go, wait, sit, pause, hide, all those things. Then once you're qualified as obedience trained, then you can go in the field and work in the field on a species. But even then, you're not working on the species up to that point. So that's when they check that the dog can actually find the species that you've signed up to do, really.
And then respond appropriately when they do, because, you know, dogs without that training, they're not going to probably do what we want them to do when they come across a hoiho. That's a key part of it, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So she's fully muzzled, and I keep my dog on a lead. Some people don't have dogs on a lead. It's up to the trainer or the handler. I keep her on a lead because she's a very quiet dog, and to track her I need to see when she stops. So I have a 5 metre lead, and when I see the lead stop, that's when I know she might be onto something. So I followed up that lead, and then usually she's 2 metres away from the nest at that stage. Then if I still can't see it, I'll get her to advance, and she will freeze about a metre away, and then she'll lock on. That's part of the breed of the dog. Then I have to actually physically pick her up at that point and move her away, and then I reward her with pats and then do the penguin work.
So what would you say you've been able to achieve with Sniper that you might not have been able to otherwise?
It's a really tricky one there, because, I mean, you throw 100 people on a bit of land, they can search it all within a few days and find the same nest I will, but I say I'd do it quicker and quieter for the birds. I think it's less intrusive on their habitat, but because it's there's low numbers, there's not a need for multiple dogs, you know, to do this work. So you can't have 50 penguin dogs, because then there's no work for 50 penguin dogs.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one to determine, but I have found nests and areas that haven't been found before. So it's all, every nest is a good nest, I say.
Yeah, there were also, we did a bit of a trial. I say I wasn't involved. I'm just taking credit. Where they sent volunteers who are skilled nest searchers through a site, and they went and found and recorded nests, and then they sent Leith and Sniper through the same piece of land, and they found all of those same nests plus additional nests in less time. So it was really quite efficient. She's very good. And I will just tell a quick anecdote about Sniper, working with Sniper, because she's quite amazing. I've been lucky enough to be out in the field with Leith and Sniper a few times. And it is interesting to see her kind of freeze. Like you can read the body language really obviously when she's onto something. But there was one night we were working out down in a site in the Catlins, and we were marking birds, which means that we were catching them and putting microchips in them to track them. And we were at a spot where they were coming and going, and we had grabbed a whole bunch at one time because there was a whole raft coming in. And we had probably about 8 penguins lined up ready to be marked, and they were in their little weigh bags. And poor Sniper was with us, and she kept pointing at the penguins all lined up ready to go, like, guys, 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 there's penguins. And we couldn't get her to relax because she was just like so focused on doing her job. It was great. She you can see the energy around how excited she gets around being out in the field as well. She really enjoys the work. So it's an absolute pleasure to watch them out in the field and doing what they do, because I know it was hard-earned. It's really difficult to get into that program, and I think that Leith's not going to brag about that, so I'll do it on his behalf. A lot of work, a lot of time for both him and for Sniper, so it's a really big deal. It's a massive tool in our toolkit to help this species.
Leith, did you get the payoff in terms of being a good family dog as well?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I've got a great family dog that's great with kids.
It's often the case that the working dogs don't have that twin life, but that works all right.
Yeah, I got told very early on by my supervisor, who's in TR now, that keep the training away from the home. So all the training was done off home base, really. So she knows that separation, and when the muzzle and that jacket go on, that's when it's work time. So when the muzzle's off and the jacket's off, she's just a normal dog. She'll run around and play, and, you know, and I've got to watch her on the beach as well. Like, if I'm out with the family on the beach, I've got to be very aware of what she's up to and where she is, because her instincts will kick in and she will go looking for wildlife. So I keep an eye on her, and she is under my control, and I keep her on a lead.
And that brings up a really important point that we've talked about often here, is that if your own dog is running free on the beach and they get these powerful smells, they're going to want to investigate. And without the training, the results can be quite horrible.
Exactly. And that's how we often end up with penguin patients in the hospital, is they're taken by dogs on the beach. And yeah, like I said, I can crawl through the bush and I can smell a penguin nest, but it takes me ages to locate it. A dog, it's just a snap to second. You know, it doesn't take long at all.
Mm. I imagine that there's a significant cost to training these dogs. What do we know about the support for this kind of work, not just with hoiho, but other species?
Yeah, so KiwiBank were a sponsor of the dog program. They mainly did the pest dog stuff, but so species, for me, I've had no support really, financial. Had lots of positive encouragement from, you know, people and dog, but it's just been off my own back. In the first few seasons, I was just volunteering because I like what I do, and I thought it was a positive thing to do.
Some advocacy work to do there, eh, Jordana?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's such an important tool, and we do have these established programs and protocols and that kind of thing that we can build on. So, yeah, if there are any corporates out there looking to get involved in a really exciting program, I'd say the conservation dog one is one to look at, absolutely, if you're not already supporting the Wildlife Hospital, obviously.
Is your work year-round or seasonal? What are you doing, Leith?
Yeah, so I work as an arborist full-time, and I'm lucky my company allow me to take time off to do the penguin work. So mainly I do October, that's nest searching, but then I have done molting checks as well, so that's later in the year. So I get mainly October, November is my main time I go out, and Dock Southland mainly, work down in the Catlins, just it's quite tough country down that way, and up here's nice sandy beaches, down there it's a lot more forest and boulders.
Yeah. You've been doing this long enough now probably to be very aware of the concerns around the health of the species, the numbers and so forth. You're getting a sense of that?
Yeah, because I used to be heavily involved with my work with the trust, but I've been out for 6 years now probably from that. So I just see flash points of it, I guess, highlights, and definitely the decline's extremely noticeable. We used to go out and find 30 nests, you know, one day, now we're struggling to find three. So the huge drop-off, and they aren't there. We know they're not there because I've got people and dogs, and I still use myself, like the dog's out in front, but I can still look and smell, and I know what I'm looking for, and they're just not there.
Mm. Yeah. So supporting the work of the Yellow-Eyed Penguin Trust too is something that we could do as supporters in this area. And I guess potentially develop more dogs doing similar work in the future. But again, I guess there's a bit of a question mark over that cost and resource and will and all that kind of thing.
Well, and the sad question is, will we have enough yellow-eyed penguins on the mainland in 10 years to support another hoiho dog, or, you know, a few hoiho dogs in the future, which is, it's horrible to contemplate, but we're at the point now where we have to actually ask those questions.
Really great to meet you, Leith. Fantastic work, and thank you on behalf of the community for putting all of that time in as a volunteer, both you and Sniper. I'm pleased that Sniper enjoys the work at least. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's really great to have had an opportunity to talk to you about your work. Jordana, what's happening with the hospital at the moment? Things busy or otherwise?
Well, I think this is a very timely discussion because we are prepping for a hoiho season. We are expecting to receive over 200 chicks this season in the month of November alone. You know, it's maybe a little bit end of October, early December, but yeah, it's quite concentrated and intense. So really just laying in all the supplies that we need, making sure we have enough people on the roster. It's one of the things we have to do is about 150 liters of fish slurry, putting that in the freezer and getting ready for the chicks. So it's quiet in terms of patient load at the moment, but we know that's going to change really soon.
And there are all sorts of ways you can support the work of Dunedin Wildlife Hospital. We've heard just one aspect of a kind of affiliated work that's being done in the community and out there in our local environments to try and do a little bit more for these precious species, these endangered species in many cases too, as with the hoiho. Thanks so much, Jordana and Leith, for joining us here for Creature Feature. We look for another edition in 4 weeks' time.
Kia ora.
Thank you.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.